Alrighty, y'all.
If the place is closed.
You guys ready for this? You guys ready for this? You guys ready? You ready? You ready? Oh, I've been ready.
Are you ready, Sam?
I'm ready. I've been ready. And...
One tail or two?
Welcome everyone to episode 12. You see where I am on top of this. And today is episode 12. And what week is it?
Myth week.
Week of the myth. Week of the myth. Whop, 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 whop.
What were you going to say, Joe?
Week of the myth.
Not paranormal.
No, that was last week.
Yeah, it was last week.
And today we have another special guest.
Special guest.
Gracing us today again is my father. Dad, would you like to say hi to everyone?
Hi, how are you guys being? Are you ready for these things? Because I don't. Let's see.
I think I know why Dad has like the highest listens, because he's got the like the guy that does the Dos Equis commercial. He's like, you drink
right? I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I drink Dos Equis.
Yeah, that's what Dad has.
The Smirnoff makeup.
Right. Well, now that we're gonna on that subject, Dad, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
Something yellow.
It's not piss. No. This is a Smirnoff screwdriver. It's one of his favorites. And yeah, it's alcohol. It's not tea. It's alcohol.
It's okay. Dad can drink whatever.
Right. It was brewed at some point or another.
Oh my God. What you got there, Yelly? What you got for us?
She stole it from me.
I totally stole it from Joe. It's a pure leaf tea. It's a cherry hibiscus caffeine free. It tastes amazing, by the way. I think it's my new favorite. Because I love hibiscus tea, and then I don't really like that very strong of a cherry flavor, but this has like a subtle cherry flavor, so it's...
It sounds good.
Do you want to try it?
It's evenly balanced.
Yeah.
Let me try this.
It's like... Is it just sweet? Slightly sweet. And it's like watered down enough where I like it a lot.
Sam would want some water with it.
Yeah, Sam would want more sugar.
No, it is actually pleasantly good. You want to try it, Dad?
It's okay. It's I don't miss the drinks.
Wow, this is really good.
It's our cherries, Daniel.
Yep. Alrighty.
Thank you.
Joe, actually, Joe and Yelly are both drinking that because it was originally Joe's, but then Yelly was like, mine.
Yeah.
Mine.
She saw it and was like,
Yeah. So the drinks are pretty simple. And what am I having again?
Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sharing the Smirnoff with Dad.
So you're drinking a Smirnoff and a Dr. Pepper?
Yeah.
It's like a mixture for children.
They say that with everything that I drink, she's always like, oh, that's Choro. You're going to get Choro.
Because the other day we had like, what was it, Starbucks? And she got like a big old cinnamon horchata. She okay?
Yeah, she's fine. She's knocked over a chair.
Oh, okay.
Also a special guest today.
Oh my God.
So we actually decided to do this at a different location. We usually do this at Yelly's place, but today we decided to come over to my place. But at my place is people and tons of animals. So also, a special guest is my big old German Shepherd, Athena. So if you hear noise in the background, walking around, things falling, it's her being clumsy.
Like being paying attention to me, Mom.
And you may get a special appearance of Junior, my black cat. He'll make his rounds soon.
Yeah.
Right? She's like, love me.
Wants attention.
Now that we got what we're drinking out of the way pretty quickly, and we've introduced my father, we also have another thing we'd like to bring up.
We got a present today.
Last week, as you guys know, we had Teresa, who was a special guest with us. And today she decided to give us a gift. And she told us we're not allowed to open it until we're on air. So, Joe, you want the pleasures?
Well, first tell them. So we remember last week, Joe's tea had a haiku on it.
Yeah.
So Teresa wrote us.
Very cryptic about the anticipation for spring, and she didn't like it too much. So she got another one by a person named Matsuo Basho.
Read it, Joe.
Read it. Okay. It's a weathered skeleton in windy fields of memory. Piercing like a knife. It's dark.
Wow. That's like wicked.
And then it says to make up for the meh haiku last week.
And a shout out to Teresa for that.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa. Now, Joe, would you like the pleasures of opening that?
That's I don't want to ruin the haiku.
Open it like Christmas, Joe.
But right. I want to preserve the haiku.
What is it?
Oh,
it's
they're
little
like,
chocolate cupcakes.
It's chocolate pies.
They're like moon pies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Orion. It's
Dad's
fluffy.
Like, yes.
Dad's like, oh, Dad's eyes are just
fluffy.
Like.
Yeah.
We'll take a picture of this so that way everyone can see the lovely gift that she has given us. We'll take pictures afterwards.
Are you sure? Because that's what we say.
Yes, we'll take pictures afterwards
for
sure.
Do you want to do it before or after I open it?
Just open it. We're going to. Oh,
that sounded like a
joke. Dad's like anticipating. He's like, "Where's my chocolate? Where's my chocolate?"
Dad,
it's coming this way. Thank you. There you go.
Thank you. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Since 1974,
it's fluffy
with marshmallow filling. Ooh.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa. No, Athena, this is for me.
Oh, that's so good.
Athena loves hearing packages because I usually
Teresa, I love you. I love you. This is good. So, since it is Yelly's week.
It's my week.
Actually, Dad, since you're a special guest, who would you like to hear go first? Me or Yelly?
Yelly.
He has spoken.
Okay,
Dad has spoken.
Yelly.
Tell us what you're doing, Yelly.
All right, you guys. I am covering the Loch Ness Monster, a.k.a. Nessie.
Goddamn Loch Ness Monster.
Dad's like, what?
You've heard of the Loch Ness Monster, right, Dad?
I hear something about it, reading about. They got some pictures, but they don't see it again. But I hear something about.
Well, she's going to inform you more about the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah,
it's important. Let's see how it is, Jelly. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the chocolate pie is phenomenal. If anyone wants to have us try any snacks on air.
Well, Abby gave us those other snacks.
Oh, that's right. Abby yeah, gave
shout
us.
Shout out to Abby.
Yeah, shout out to Abby. They were really good.
1 pound box.
Dude, it's half of it's
three
gone.
3 pound box.
It's a 3 pound box. Yeah, it's a three. No, pound. 3 pounds.
Well, remember, okay. It was raining and I was carrying all those drinks and he was like, oh no, go up to the place.
Because this thing is heavy. It's 3 pounds.
Dang.
3 pounds.
I thought it was 1 pound.
Nope.
I was mistaken.
3 pounds. That's half of it's gone.
3 pounds of, and it's, what, been 3 days? And Abby
he said he would have been gone by now.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know how you guys are holding back. So, yeah, if you guys have any snacks you want us to try, hit me up and we'll work something out. Maybe you can
we'll
send us something.
Air, even we'll, all the lip-smacking
goodness. Let you know how it tastes.
All the lip-smacking all
right.
goodness.
So back to what we were doing.
Just
Yelly.
To a food ASMR.
Yeah.
Yelly, would you, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Let's do this.
Ready. Should I start over?
Tell us what you're doing.
Loch Ness Monster. Nessie. AKA Nessie.
Nasty?
Nessie.
La Nasty?
Ness and an IE.
Nessie?
Right?
The goddamn Loch Ness Monster.
The Loch Ness Monster.
The Loch Ness Monster.
They want 350.
She wants 350.
You guys want to know where the name originated for Nessie? It is a Scottish Gaelic. I don't know how to pronounce this. Nesseg? Nesseg?
Nesseag?
Do not butcher this too much. We do have Irish followers now.
I'm sorry. If you guys know how to pronounce it and want to like send us a clip on the Facebook, please do to just like correct me. Because apparently I found out the other day when I did the Baba Yaga.
Yaga
episode. I was saying it totally wrong, so I was saying Baba Yaba. And Baba Yaba means a lady that likes to fuck.
An old lady.
Oh,
yeah, an old lady.
An old lady.
So
that's why I was like, oopsie. Like,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if you say yabas, yaba means like the F word.
Yeah.
Bueno.
Yeah.
We tried to avoid that.
I was like,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right.
He thought it was funny. He was just like, it's you guys didn't know. He's like, but I'm just letting you know.
Right.
Yabas means this. So when Yelly's like, Baba Yabas. And he was like, I couldn't stop laughing because you're basically saying, oh, lady who likes to screw.
Oh, no.
So I was like, I'm sorry, I apologize.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want another one, Dad?
No, it's okay.
All right.
I'm just following you.
So it's a Gaelic.
It's off of a Gaelic. Scottish Gaelic.
So what's the name?
That's why I said it already. Niseg. It's N-I-S-E-A-G.
You have to say with an Irish accent.
What the heck? Oh, my God. Niseg. I don't know.
Niseg.
I don't know why I gave it a little, like, working 9 to 5, little dance to it. But, yeah, okay.
We're going to apologize ahead of time. We barely know how to speak English.
So. I know, right?
Yeah, me speaking English.
Especially me, okay?
Right? Yeah. We all don't
Dad's
know.
Dad's the only one that gets the get-out-of-jail-free card.
Right? Come on. His first language is Spanish. Yes. If it's a Spanish word, Dad's like, I'm all over it. I got this shit.
Oh, no problema.
He's like, I guess this. Okay. So I categorized it by, like, appearance, origin, history, and all that stuff. Cool. So I'm going to go through the appearance. So Nessie is large in size with a long, it looks basically like a long neck is what people have.
The dinosaur, the long
neck. Yeah.
We're going to learn today.
What's the name of that dinosaur?
The Plethiothorus.
Okay.
Right? Plesiothorus.
Yes.
Plethiosis. A ver, lea la Ricky.
No, pussy.
Yes.
Plesiosis.
Yeah, see?
Dad's like, are you serious? You want me to read this?
So pretty much it has a long neck with one or more humps protruding, like, from its back.
Wait, one or more?
It could have one or more. That's what it's said. But it says the plesiosaurs were probably cold-blooded reptiles needing warm tropical waters. Oh. The average temperature of the Loch Ness was only about 5.5 Celsius, right, Joe?
Okay, how
about 42 degrees in Fahrenheit?
Dad, I was about to say.
I Googled it before.
Dad,
I was like,
you know what Celsius is? You guys know Celsius, right?
No, pero le hago con él something new right now.
So we learned that today, 5.5 Celsius is about 42 Fahrenheit.
Oh.
42 degrees.
Yeah.
42 degrees.
Mathematical.
Yeah, no.
Joe, what time is it? Joe wants to do math at 10 o'clock at night.
It's 10 o'clock. It's 1 a.m.
1 o'clock at night.
5 minutes in the morning.
How did you get
the little arrow from the little one that's ticking was towards the 10. And I was like, wow, it's really early.
We got up at work at 10:30.
I'm sorry. You see what I'm working with here? You see?
Yeah, see. I was falling asleep and they say, come over here to Lizzie.
Dad's like, you better have a good reason for keeping me up right now.
They are. Okay. Let's keep listening.
Yeah. All right. If the plesiosaurs were warm-blooded, they would have required a food supply beyond what was supplied by the Loch Ness. So that's why they're assuming it's a cold.
Oh, yeah. I never would have thought of that.
Cold-blooded. But. So in short terms, it's a long-necked giant amphibian.
Amphibian.
Is that right?
Amphibian.
I can't read very good. You're and this is why I became an art major. And my best friend's over here laughing at me.
No. Over pronouncing the last part of that
amphibian.
Word.
Amphibian.
Yeah.
Amphibian.
Like Fabian.
Amphibian. Oh, yeah, you're right. I just thought about it. All right. So Nessie is a cryptid. Which basically means a creature that has reportedly been encountered or written about throughout the history of the world.
See.
World.
Right? You knew about right. Nessie. No, I knew about Nessie. See, I knew about Nessie.
Who doesn't know about Nessie?
Apparently people that don't know about Nessie.
They're How always on me about this.
And a codaltal.
What?
Evidence is basically saying that a lot of the photography and stuff has been proven.
Anecdotal.
Invalid and stuff.
Really?
I don't think, yeah.
I know what the main picture of Nessie, like, it was a really blurry
one.
It's
this one.
Yeah, that one.
That's the most famous one.
Well, I'm going to show you guys in a bit because I want to get to reaction because there's other sugar cubes and stuff that I wanted.
Sugar cubes.
Dad knows what a sugar cube is, right?
Our sugar cubes are facts. Like instead of saying fun facts or something, we say sugar cube.
There you go, sugar cube.
So it's with few disputes through photographs and sonar readings, which I thought was fun, but I'll get to that later. The scientific community regards Nessie as a phenomenon without biological basis, explaining the sightings as a hoax, wishful thinking, and misidentifications of mundane objects.
I think she's real, okay, Nessie? I'm giving you credit. You're real.
What about you, Dad? Do you think it's real or you think it's not real?
It can be real.
You think so?
Yeah, it can be real.
What do you think, Joe?
I think it's real.
So everybody thinks it's real.
What about you, Yelly?
I believe in the real.
I want to believe.
But I believe in you, Nessie.
Later on, there's a little sugar cube that it's going to make you think. It's going to mind blow you. but I'll get that. I left it for the end so you guys can sit there and think and be like, oh.
There you go.
So we're going to go into the origin of when Nessie appeared and how it came to be.
Okay.
So Nessie was first seen on 1802 in the Scottish Highlands.
1802?
Holy
shit.
Worldwide attention, though, was in 1933.
I think that's older than mine.
Oh. So on May 2nd in 1933, Alex Campbell, bailiff, my second word for the day, but I researched to see what a bailiff was, and I put a sugar cube. A bailiff is a law enforcement officer policing bodies of water such as a river, a lake, or a coast. So basically, he's like a coast guard.
Coast guard.
Yeah, oh, okay. For the Loch Ness.
Okay.
They've been around for a long time through history, but that's the first time I heard of a motherfucking bailiff. So I was just like, what is a bailiff, Google? So, yeah.
Google is our best friend.
Pretty much. But I thought it was a little funny, though, because he was a bailiff and a part-time journalist.
Oh, the
coincidence. Hamlet. Yeah, what a coinky-dink in the Inverness Courier Report. On August 4th, 1933, the Courier published a report on a launder, George Spicer, that several weeks earlier, that he and his wife saw, and in quotes, the nearest approach to a dragon or prehistoric animal that I've ever seen in my life. So could you imagine,
this was in 1802.
Paper? This was in 1933.
1933, okay.
Yeah. In August 4th, 19th. That's when it published onto paper and people read.
I was about to say, 1802, I don't think they had the publishing thing.
No. Way too early. And then turning it across the road towards the lock with an animal in its mouth. Letters began appearing in the Courier, often anonymously claiming land or whatever sightings by the writer. So people would starting to write in letters, but they would do it anonymously.
So people wouldn't think they're crazy.
Pretty much. Of sightings of the monster and everything. I've seen it too. I've seen it too. And then would write it. But
you're just brave enough to come out. Yeah.
So people, but then again, back in the day, they were like, oh, it's a monster. You know, there was a lot of rumors, but people would be like, oh, you're crazy or this or that. So
crazy house for you. Go.
Yeah.
Or you're a witch.
Badha.
Yeah. And their family or acquaintances or remembered stories by the account reached by the media, which described a monster fish, a sea serpent, as Dad just showed us in the thing, or a dragon, but they eventually all settled on the name Loch Ness Monster.
Oh.
It's did they have a town meeting of this? It's what should we call this thing?
Right. You need to come a name with it. La, maybe something with an L, Lockie, la, Logan, Luke.
It's the long legs because dinosaur, you know, long leg, small body for water.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a more or less fish or something like that. Mm-hmm. Loose.
Well, it's also because of the name of the place.
The lake.
The lake itself.
Yeah, that's true.
Or I'm the sorry nest.
You're going to get back.
No, it's totally fine. This is what we do. We talk about it and all the deal. And I like your guys' input to be like, no, you're wrong, Joe.
She loves to prove you wrong.
No. So, continuing on the 6th of December in 1933, the first, actual photograph was captured of her, or him, or it. As
let's not assume it's gender.
Of the monster, I guess. I don't know. Of Nessie. We'll say Nessie, because I don't like calling her him or her a monster.
Let's call it Nessie.
Nessie. Yeah.
I don't like Nessie.
Was taken by
Nazi dad Nessie.
Hugh Gray, which was published Daily Express. The Secretary of State of Scotland soon ordered the police to prevent any attacks. So basically, Scotland wanted to protect it.
Yeah, I would.
So because eventually, I think it was the British.
A little surprised that they would back in the day were like, you know, we want to preserve this animal instead of hunt it down.
No, the museum wanted it. They actually put out a reward for people to go hunt the Loch Ness monster.
Holy shit. Scotland was
like, we're sending out police. We're gonna protect the Loch Ness.
Good. Yeah. Good.
So, but I wanted to show you guys the photo of Mr. Hugh Gray. So this is the photo right here. This is the first one.
Huh.
Yeah.
It looks like a whole bunch of smudges.
Yeah, it just
okay.
It looks like a whole bunch of smudges.
It's
this one right here. What is your thought on that one, Sam?
Wait, that's supposed to be
That's the first picture that ever came forward.
It's like overexposure and
it kind of just looks more, honestly, it looks more like a USO than it does a Loch Ness Monster.
So someone like broke it down in like a website that I didn't want to put all the pictures.
Uh-huh.
So I was just going to verbally explain it.
Okay.
They matched this point right here with this point, and apparently their breaking down of it is a dog dragging a stick through the water.
What the
You can kind of see the like face of the dog, and then it had like a stick and it was treading through water.
So you tried to pass it for
a I'm trying to see that.
So they matched up an exact photo of a dog, like, and like put it like face to face, and I was like, oh my god, it is. So I'm not saying confirm.
You
like,
need to send me this website so I can post it up on our website so people can see that. Because that's crazy. I don't see it.
And then other people broke it down and were like, no, it's a head of an eel. I was like, honestly, it just looks like a smeared blur to me.
It does.
And I was just like,
smeared blur. This isn't.
Some people think it's just like debris floating in the water, and other people just think
it just looks like a USO to me. I'm going to go with it's a USO. Little do we know, Nessie drives around in a USO. She owns like.
It was the USO that left it there.
Ooh. And then, so my second photo to come out that people were like, now we know what we're fucking talking about, was the surgeon's photography picture or photo, which is the one
everyone knows about. When you hear Nessie, you think of this photo. You think
of this photo.
Yeah, everyone's seen
that one. That got people all freaking crazy.
Yeah, everyone has seen that photo, but I've heard it's been debunked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, to me, it looks like a little elephant's trunk.
It's an elephant going for a dive and its nose sticking out.
Because if you think about it, it's like the little lip of the trunk for the nose, and it's just like, but then I'm just like, why would an elephant be all the way in Scotland?
Are elephants native in Scotland?
I don't know, are they?
Hey, listeners.
Google! Right. What is geography, Joe?
I didn't take geography, but do you think elephants are in Scotland,
Dad? The climate is wrong. It's too cold.
No, I don't know.
Hey, mammoths used to be in the cold.
Are you going
to
Google it?
I know, but...
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll continue reading while you Google it. So this was the first photo from a head to neck. So they thought it was the head and the neck.
Sticking out of the water.
Yeah. So Dr. Wilson claimed that he was looking at the lock when he saw the monster, which was the lake. Or the lock. Is lock a fancier word for a lake? Am I confusing it?
I'm not 100% sure on that. But
why didn't you Google it, Yelly?
Because I didn't think about it until now.
I think that's kind of more of the Irish word or Irish translation for lake.
So he grabbed his camera and snapped 5 photos. But then it's like, why just one then if you had 5 of them?
Well, because the other ones probably came out just as blurry and obscure.
I guess so, yeah, because it says after film was developed, only 2 exposures were clear. The first photo, the more published one, shows that it was claimed by a small head and back.
And
the
you are correct,
Yelly. The second one is blurry image, huh?
Loch is, in Irish, Scottish, and Gaelic, is a lake.
Yeah, okay.
So you are correct.
Okay.
All right. Good information right there.
Okay, so only 2 of the pictures out of 5. So out of 5, only 2 were visible, but they only used 1 because the second one was way too blurry of an image to attach to the publicity on the newspaper. So I was just like, what are the odds, right? Out of 5, nomás 2, and then nomás 2, nomás 1. Yeah. So and then from there, the image was ruled as a fake in the Sunday Telegraph dated December 7th until 1975. Supposedly taken by Robert Kenneth Wilson, a London gynecologist?
Gynecologist?
Is it gynecologist?
I was going to say gynecologist.
Is it gynecologist, Joe?
It's G-Y-N-A-E-cologist.
Is that a gynecologist?
I'm pretty sure that's gynecologist.
Yeah. So is this a vagina doctor discovered it? That's funny. So it was published on the Daily Mail and... April 21st, 1934.
These are the jokes, people.
These are the yokes.
Most certainly a gynecologist.
Gynecologist. We're going to refer to him as gynecologist now. Gynecologist.
Wilson refused to have his name associated with the photograph, led to it being called the surgeon's photograph.
I get it because he's a gynecologist.
Surgeon. Oh, you're doing the background. Strangely small ripples in the photo fit the size and circular pattern of small ripples. I'm just imagining like a small little vagina right now that they took a picture of, and they're like, the ripple. I'm sorry. As opposed to large waves in the photograph up close. Yeah, actually, now that you talk, look at Joe, because there's little ones, and then there's big ones. Es lo que se están diciendo.
Go ahead.
So what? Analyst what? Of the
original
uncropped image, Foster further doubted. In 1993, the makers of Discovery Communications documentary Loch Ness discovered, analyzed an uncropped image that was found. A white object was visible in every version of the photo, implying that it was negative. Negative.
Liars.
It was believed to be the cause of the ripples as the object was being towed through. It could be not ruled out as a blemish in the negative. Additionally, one analyst of further photography revealed the object was quite small.
So pretty much
it didn't match up because the water area that it was taken at compared to the object was tiny. So they make it seem like it's this giant Loch Ness thing. But if people drew it out, it'd be like almost the size of like a long neck. And then the little feet would be like
tiny. Yeah.
Yeah.
So proportions are not correct, people. Proportions are important.
2 to 3 feet long.
What?
Yeah. So that's why like it's too tiny to be a Loch Ness monster.
13 feet
long.
Two to three feet.
It needs
about tree fitting. It needs more.
So it's about 3 stories.
Analyst Joe.
Oh my god.
Of the size of photography have been inconsistent, so that's why they were like, it's a fake.
I feel like.
Yeah. Okay. So in 1979, the British government decided to attach Oh, that was my little sugar cube. I realized I skipped a page. So this is one of the parts that I found interesting that I told you I listened to that YouTube video that people found like other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1979, the British government decided to attach sonar equipment to dolphins and put it in the nest to try to see if they could like sonarly find it. Fine. Because a lot of I was telling you, they were sending out poachers to try to like to like capture it. Hunter, but then someone in the British, I forgot who the guy's name was, but he's like, why don't you guys just send the Navy to go try to see if and find it? Because they have all the sonar equipment and stuff. Right. But I thought it was cute that they use dolphins to be like, go find the Loch Ness, Nessie.
They use less oxygen, less oxygen on the tanks.
Yeah, so pretty much.
Could you imagine if they used orcas to try to find it? They would never find it unless it was in the bellies of the orcas.
So here's the part that I found interesting, though. So just 2 years later, in 1981, Silver Service legislator they added to a protection
to Loch Ness
to protect Nessie.
Oh,
so it makes you think. So in the Wildlife and Countryside Act, the Scottish developed an outline. The legislative framework is to protect the monster is available. Present, she or he is identified by a scientist whose reputation will carry weight by the British Museum.
Damn, so meaning she has complete protection, complete amnesty, and unless someone they point is able to identify that is Loch Ness, you guys can't touch him.
You cannot.
Yeah. They're considered an endangered species now.
It is.
So the other thing that I thought was really cool and kind of mind-blowing, because it makes you think, I was like, if they say supposedly there's nothing there, why put out this act of protection?
Are we going with government conspiracy?
I think so.
Oh my god.
But here's the other cool thing. So in 1985, the embassy of Sweden contacted the Scottish on how to protect their they also found like a kind of like a plethiosaurus monster as well.
What the hey, let's share tips on how to protect plethiosauruses, because they should be extinct but they're not. Like, she's saying that this is a government conspiracy, that they're hiding shit, Dad.
You know,
and this
they
is
kind of
like a little...
It's a government.
What people think it kind of looks like.
No, it's so cute! Hey, can I have one, Dad?
No.
As a pet?
Oh, no, where are you going to put it?
In a fish tank.
We'll make space for it in the room.
So
it's good in picture.
Kind of cool conspiracies, because I was wondering like if any of you could be like, no, it's not real, and then just be like, well then, why do they have special protection acts if it's not real, huh?
I believe Nessie is real. I believe so, too. I believe she's out there. It is out there. I believe
there's more than just Nessie, too.
Oh.
Yeah. Our whales and wildlife, yeah. It's sad.
All those animals be protected.
But there's people, yeah, there's people, there's bad people in the world, people. But there's also good people that make safety acts and stuff, so.
Yeah, like the Irish government and the Swedish government trying to protect the Nessies out there.
There you go. Something is there.
Anything else you got for us, Yelly?
Yes, I have a couple hoax. Uh-oh. Which I thought would be funny.
Okay, tell us.
People are like, I saw this, and then they're like, no.
No. You're delusional.
So I just got, there's like more on this website that I actually put the link if people want to go see more. But I only grabbed two because I didn't know how long we were gonna go for today. So in 2004, a Fire TV documentary team using cinematic special effects experts tried to convince people that there was something in the lock. They constructed an animatronic model of a plesiosaurus.
Oh my god.
Calling it Lucy, despite setbacks, including Lucy falling to the bottom of the log.
Oh, God.
About 600 sightings were reported that she was where she was placed. So 600 people thought it was real, and when she sunk to the bottom of the log. So that would make me giggle. And then in 2005, two students claimed they had found a large tooth embedded in the body of a deer on the Loch Shore. They published the find, setting up a website, but experts and analysts soon revealed that it was a tooth. Was the antler of a
moonchuck?
So it was basically an antler, not a tooth.
Oh.
And the tooth was publicly stunned to promote a horror novel by Stephen Alton. Oh my god. The Lock. So it was a hoax for a movie.
Funny.
No. So. And then another little side note that I've also thought was kind of cute was misidentification of actual known animals that people thought were messy.
Yeah.
Which include bird wakes, eels, elephants, which I was like, it's an elephant! That's why I laughed. And Greenland shark, Welsh catfish, which if you think about it, I'm just like, them are going to be some big-ass catfish.
They are.
And I like catfish.
Dad loves catfish.
Catfish is good.
Fried catfish.
Resident animals.
Extra fried and extra crispy.
As well as trees and just water optical effects.
Yeah. I'm surprised you guys didn't bring up the oarfish, was it? Or no, something like that.
No, it wasn't on the list.
Okay. Well, that's the Loch Ness.
That's my little Loch Ness monster. I tried looking for more, but a lot of it was like the same thing that I was finding. And over and over again. Word for word. And I was just like, Nessie. In my heart, you are real.
Like, she is real.
Tiny little 2 to 3 feet thing.
See, Nessie's real.
I think so. I think it makes me feel like, at least like some type of like, I don't know if it's a plethiosaurus or a dinosaur or a dragon or, I don't like the term monster, but like,
she ain't no monster. Yeah. She just wants attention and love.
She just wants to live in the
love. Give the love to Nessie.
Pretty much. Everyone loves Nessie.
Give Nessie love.
Leave Nessie alone.
Leave it alone and
give us the love.
I know, right?
Yeah, she actually brought the, like, the lock, a lot of tourists, a lot of, like,
Do you think it's maybe just a tourist attraction type of thing?
Kind of. Like, that's why they loved her so much, because it made their state, like, profitable.
Well.
And everything.
I'm going to Ireland. Maybe I'll go visit Loch Ness while I'm there.
You take a picture and be like.
All right, been there, done that.
Photoshop something.
I don't Photoshop something in the back.
Be like, alrighty. It's real, Dad.
So, this brings me to the next person. Moi. I am covering a story.
What are you covering, Sam?
The black dog.
Black dog.
The myth or the ghost of the black dog.
Right.
Right. What? Huh? Did you say, why does it gotta be black?
Just said it.
So, I'm pretty sure a lot of people have heard about black dogs, right? Like, is there anything that you grew up knowing about black dogs, Dad?
Yeah, it's always something unnatural.
Yeah, say it in Spanish. El perro negro.
It's todo. See?
Right.
So, related with all the spooky stuff. And
So what do you know about the black dog?
Well, like you said, the last time I was talking to you guys about a neighborhood I was living in.
The Dobermans.
Correct. That's why I don't like those pointy ears, so those Dobermans.
You know, the pointy ears of Doberman are not natural.
No, they're natural. They make cut them and they fix them. They make it look like a mornini. How does this go? Right. What I don't like about those dogs is because in the nighttime, they don't even recognize his owner.
They get scared easily and they attack.
Yes, they attack. Yes, yes. You have to identify yourself real. Nice. Or the other ways, they even attack you.
Yeah.
These are guard dogs.
They're natural guard dogs.
Right.
So, yeah.
Those dogs.
As you've heard about, okay, so the black dog, really it's mostly covering the myth of the black dogs, the ghost black dog. And the black dog, how I've covered, I decided to do probably more information than necessary. But
that's totally fine. Like,
I did the black dog in different places, in different origins. So here we go.
Like where it's appeared or where it's like
appearances and how other people view them too. So we have the black dog, also known, so there's several different names. They're known as the black dog, the black skunk, old shock, and or well actually those are like the most common, but there are thousands of different names. Yes. Sometimes it carried an odor with it.
Oh, that's why they call it a skunk instead of a dog.
So there are thousands of names. It all depends on the culture that you're asking. But a lot of them were simply would know them as skunk, as blackie, black dog, the big black mastiff, because these were huge dogs. So the black dog is more of a folklore than it is anything else. It is also known as a spectral or a demonic entity, said to roam the coastline and countryside of Eastern England, that area. It's a primarily a folklore for the British Isles, but it's everywhere. So in the British Isles, if you even talk about the black dog, a lot of people will tell you to shut up. You don't want to talk about it because even if you're talking about it, it's a bad omen.
Shut your whore mouth.
Right away. Wow, Joe!
Yeah,
out of the blue.
It's from a movie.
How much do you need? $250.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, but to them over there, it's super serious. If you're talking about the black dog, you are essentially talking about
taboo.
Not just that, you're talking about death. Yes, because in there and a lot of the British Isles in that area, the black dog is death. And they always say there's a little sugar cube here.
So are you gonna like smudge yourself tonight since you're like talking about it? And, like,
right.
History.
Don't come to me.
Yeah, all these people in England are be like, oh, don't listen to this episode.
So there's a
like, don't say his name.
I know, don't say its name. Voldemort. Mm-hmm. Oh, he makes appearance again with the chancla. He's still running from it. So there's a saying actually that they have, which I have somewhere, and I'll cover it when we get to it. But the black dog is not just seen as death. Sometimes some people see it as a good omen, too. So, again, it's just depending on where you go. So, the black dog is essentially it's mostly a night appearance. It doesn't really come during the day. In some cases,
would it be, like, even more scarier if you saw it throughout the day?
I would think so. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there are some writings in here where people did see it during the day.
What would you do, Sam, if you're like...
I'd pet it.
I know.
I'd want to pet it.
And then you're going to try to touch it and you see your hand goes through
it. Goes through it, right?
You're going to keep petting it or you're going to take him out?
I'm going to try and pet it. Because that's probably
what's wrong.
Right? I can't touch you. This is not fair. So the black dog, again, is a night thing. It mostly appears at night. In some cases, some people say the black dog is also a shapeshifter. So it not only will go from dog, it'll go to something else. And it's also often said it's associated with the devil or described as a ghost or a hellhound, which...
Do you think, like, because didn't, like, Dracula also, like, have something like, yes. where he could transform into, like...
Well,
what if it connects to Dracula?
Maybe it will. Okay, so it is generally supposed to be a larger-than-normal dog, often has large glowing eyes, mostly red, but some people reported to seeing, like, yellow or even purple, I saw... Mm-hmm. It is sometimes associated with electrical storms and also at crossroads, which is very famous, and places of execution and ancient pathways. So,
like, it would bring storms or, like, you would see
usually if
storms?
You see if there's a storm, people are like, don't go outside. The black dog will get you because the storms.
Dude, I don't want to draw that next. Like, right? Just like, a big black dog. And,
with
like,
a storm.
Lightning and rain.
That would be awesome. Next merch idea. Next merch idea. Sure. So,
I saw it visually. I was like, oh.
It's like it's coming to me. Yeah. So in many folklores, the black dog is sometimes recorded as an omen of death, but in other instances, it is described as a companion. So I'm going to go with a short bit of origin, and then we're going to just go with a bunch of sightings and different names and different things. So according to Oxford English Dictionary, the name skunk derives from the Old English word, oh my god, suka? I think suka?
It's okay, you couldn't have been as bad as mine as my, what was it?
It's S-C-U-C-C-A.
Asuka? Asuka! I don't know. What was he?
It's like Asuka.
Maybe
it's like suka, well, it means devil or friend.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how it means both devil and friend at the same time, but it does. So
maybe like a demonic friend?
I don't know. Demon-ish I would love to have a devil friend. But the form from the root word skunk, like it means to terrify. Oh. So it basically means it's a friend who likes to terrify. Or the devil who likes to terrify, whichever one you want to put front. So the first mention in print of the black skunk is by Reverend E.S. Taylor in the 1850s. So how yours was 1805? Mine started to appear around... was the most sightings were seen in the 1850s.
Correct.
So they actually had published a actual article called Skunk the Dog Friend. Huh. So in this case, instead of using it in the devil form, it was a friend. This phantom I have heard many people in East Norfolk and even Cambridgeshire.
Described hey, you gotta read it with an English accent, Sam.
Described as having seen a black shaggy dog with fiery eyes and immense size. Some say they can be the size of a calf or a horse.
A calf?
A calf or a horse. And who visits churchyards at midnight. But the true origin of the black dogs are difficult to really pinpoint because it all depends on the culture. So in the English culture, it didn't really start appearing until like 1850. But if you really look back, through European mythology, the dog has been associated with death. Example, just to give a few. So you have the, I don't even know how to pronounce this, the Cynwa, which is Welsh, Hounds of Inwa, or Grom, which is Norse, or Grom, the wolf dog or wolf dog associated with both Hel and Ragnarok, which is Norse mythology,
yeah.
Described as a bloodstained guardian of Hell's gates. And of course, you have Cerberus. So Cerberus is Greek, which is the three-headed dog. The Hounds of Hell. He's known to guard the gates of the underworld. And as stated above, all these were all some sort of guardian of the underworld. They're associated, by association, it seems to be due to the scavenging habits of dogs. But it's believed the black dog is a mix of all of these plus more. So they're saying that the black dog was known as a guardian, was known as the thing of death, a sign of death. It was a bad omen. It was a number of things.
So in other words, it's not a bad news getting the black
dog. No, yeah. In some, like in Norse mythology, it wasn't. In Greek, it was known as the dog of the underworld, just a protector. And in different mythologies, it was just different. So the black dog has appeared in mythologies way back in time.
Right.
But in England, that's when it didn't come around till like 1850. So, but if you were looking back in the history, black dogs or dogs have just been around for a really long time.
Right.
So again, the black dogs are generally regarded as sinister or malevolent, and a few are said to be directly harmful. They may also serve as a familiar spirit for witches and warlocks. So black dogs were known as familiars for witches and warlocks. And for those who don't know what familiars are, for witches and warlocks, it's basically like a pet or something that they can transmit their abilities and like life form so into. So
imagine Sleeping Beauty, Maleficent, her crow.
Yeah. You know how like a lot of witches are known for having like crows or toads and cats and stuff like that?
Yeah, basically.
So, back in the day, black dogs were known as that too. So not only did they have black cats, they had black dogs. So some black dogs, however, such as the Groot dog in Somerset and the black dog of the Hanging Hills in Connecticut
Groot?
Groot. Yes.
He's Groot. I like how you twisted it.
Oh, my God.
There.
Yes. So some are said to behave benevolently. Some known as the guardian black dogs guide toward travelers at night into right passages or even guard them from danger. So again, you have the evil ones and the ones that actually help people into passages. So there's the ones that say, oh, at nighttime, the thunderstorms, if you follow the black dog will lead you to a place to be out of the thunderstorms. Correct. While there are some who will say, no, if you see them, they'll lead you into the thunderstorm to die.
If you see the black dog, north, you go south.
Yeah.
Don't follow the dog.
Dad's advice. Follow Dad's advice. Don't go with the dog. Don't
follow the dog.
That's where I would be screwed because I would follow the dog because I'd want to pet it.
Oh, no.
So,
doggy, why are you in the rain?
Right? Let me take care of you. Come home with me. So we're going to now cover some sightings, locations, and just some general, like, information. And it's a long list. And I'm actually going to say this now. This, the list that you're going to hear from me, is a small list. I cut this list, like, more than in half. Mm-hmm. It is long, and there's a lot. I'm going to cover just a small amount. And
Tree Fitty stories.
I'm going to probably go pretty fast. I'm probably going to go pretty fast. So if you guys...
I'm going to time it. Joe, time it. Oh, my God. Ready, set, go.
So, 350 minutes. Oh, my God. So here we go, right? Black doves have been reported almost in all countries or in all areas of England, mostly in England, but it's all over the world. So a notorious squire, Richard Campbell, was said to have been a huntsman who sold his soul to the devil. Ooh. He died in 1672 and was given black hounds to be with him. So when he died, he was actually buried with black hounds also. And it was said after his death, you could see him riding around on his famous horse and with two black dogs following him.
Right.
So, and this was back in like 1677. And people were saying if you saw him and the black hounds, he would sick the black hounds or his hellhounds after you to kill you. So in Lancashire.
More on Pendle Hill.
Right. A black hound is called, oh God, Burgess, Grim, Grinchish, Padfoot, Sag.
Padfoot?
Ooh. Yes. I thought you would like that. Sag, Striker, Streaker, and Trash. That was the name in Lancashire. Those are all the names that they have for the black dog there. Stories are told of black dogs in Telford near Winchester also. They have really bad names there. I'm sorry. So in Gilly Hill in Luton, Bedfordshire. A lot of their things end with Shire, might I add.
Bedfordshire? Wow, this is all in Pendle Hill.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's why when I was doing this, I was like, dude, this sounds like Pendle Hill. So it is said to have been haunted by a black dog ever since the storm set a goblet alight. Sometime in the 18th century.
A goblet, a light.
Yeah, a lit, a light. Potato, potato. So Benchworth Castle in Surrey is said to be haunted by a black dog that prowls the nights, the ruins at night. Black dog. There's actually something called Black Dog Hill or Black Dog Halt. Railroad station in Wiltshire are said after a dog that used to haunt that ground. And if you were caught in the train station at nighttime, you were going to die. Ooh. Because of this black dog. So it's like, don't be late for your train if you want to live. A black dog is said to haunt Ivelet Bridge near Ivelet in Swaledale, Yorkshire. The dog is said to be allegedly headless and leaps over the side of the bridge and into the water. Although it can be heard barking at night, it is considered a death omen, and reports claim that anybody who sees it dies within a year. The last sighting of this was about 100 years ago.
Nobody, so if you're crossing
this bridge and you see close a headless eyes. Dog, it said you're going to die in about a year.
No.
So
it's like the Ring movie.
Right?
7 days.
7 days. A black dog in Hertfordshire. There's all the names, a lot of the names, and in Shire. Hunts the towns of Stevenage, near the Six Hills. A Berghest, which is another word for black dog, is said to roam the Snickerwells, in side roads of York, preying on passerbyers, and has also been seen near Clifford's Towers. To see the monstrous dog is said to be a warning of your impending doom. Even more. A man who lived in a village near Amesleyburg in Buckinghamshire would go each morning and night to milk his cows in a distant field. One night on his way there, he encountered a sinister black dog, and every night thereafter until he brought a friend along with him. When the dog appeared again, he attacked it using the yoke of his milk which is basically something he uses to help milk a cow. Okay. And so he attacked it with his weapon. But when he did so, the dog vanished and the man fell senselessly on the ground and was carried home alive, but remained speechless and paralyzed for the rest of his life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to attack this dog. But he ended up falling through it.
It's like you say, you know, you want to pellet it and you can go through. You want to hit it and the head goes to the ground.
He tries to hit it. He ends up paralyzing himself, right? Don't do it.
By the afraid, correct.
Right? Don't do it. So near the town of Limeridge in Dorset, stood a farmhouse that was haunted by a black dog. The dog never caused any harm, but one night the master of the house, in a drunken rage, tried to attack it with an iron poker. The dog fled to the attic, where it leapt out through the ceiling, and when the master struck the spot where the dog vanished, he discovered a hidden cache of gold and silver.
What, like what you say, it's a guard. Right? Yeah, that's a lucky right? man, yeah.
So the dog was never again seen indoors, but to this day continues to haunt at midnight, and some people try and follow it. Because they think, maybe he'll lead me to treasure like he did this guy.
Is that what you wish your dogs did, Sam?
I wish. Yeah, so that happens. And so it's actually, it seems to be around in an area they refer to as Dog Lane. People say if they see this dog try to come into, like, stare, like if they want to go into a house, they try to invite the dog in to see if they can find treasure for them. This is a story on a good one.
No more
so to go on top of that, the guy who ended up finding all the gold and silver, he ended up making a bed and breakfast, and he calls it the old black dog. Cool. Naming it after the black dog who brought him fortune.
Is it still up?
It's still up.
Are you going to go visit it?
I don't know where it's at. I don't think it's going to be in the area that I'm going to be at. So, yeah. But yeah, he discovered it, the treasure, and he decided, you know, in this dog's honor, I'm going to make a little area, a bed and breakfast, and call it the old black dog. Right?
That's what he wanted.
That's what he wanted. So that was a story of a good black dog versus the other ones that you're going to hear some bad ones.
Ooh, now we're getting the bad ones.
Right.
Why didn't we get the bad ones first and then the good one later?
I've been like interchanging it. So the black dog of Newgate has been said to haunt. Oh God, I totally misspelled that. Haunt the Newgate prison for over 400 years, appearing before executions. According to legend, in 1596, a scholar was sent to the prison for witchcraft, but was killed and eaten by starving prisoners before he could even get executed. The dog was said to appear soon after, and although the terrified man killed the guards and escaped, the beast is said to have to go after the people who fled and ate them.
Oh.
So he became the executioner of these prisoners who killed the guy accused of witchcraft.
Okay.
So it's the like it's familiar. Yeah.
Killed them.
So they're saying that the...
So they killed the dude and the familiar killed the...
Yes.
And when they killed the dog to eat it, but that means it kills the people.
Yeah. So in the parish of Hertfordshire, a chimney sweeper named Thomas Colley was executed by hanging in 1751... for drowning murder of Ruth Osborne, whom he accused of being a witch. Collie's spirit now haunts the site of the giblet in the form of a black dog. And the clanking of chains could also be heard. So they actually see this black dog will burst into flames before appearing in front of them. So flames are usually associated following him. And you also see chains wrapped around its neck. So you'll actually hear the chains before you actually hear him. Getting close
right,
to you.
Right, like when you hear the noise, but you don't see where it's coming from.
Yeah, so, and his eyes usually are like black. They're usually red with flames coming out of them. And his teeth are to be longer and sharper than normal, so they'll be like hanging out of its mouth. Yeah.
Like a saber tooth?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. ESSEX?
XS?
Essex. There you go. Yeah. A black dog known as Black Skunk is regarded as malevolent, with stories ranging from terrifying people or killing them, or being a portal of death to themselves or people who are their victims. There is a tale in 1577. It attacked the church in the market town, killing two people and appearing on the same day at the church in the nearby village, taking the lives of another three and leaving claw marks which remains today. So they say if you go visit this church, you'll see huge claw marks still in the church. And they don't want to get rid of it. They keep it there because it's like an omen, a reminder for them not to mess up. So in the parish of Overstan, in a dreary lane known as Shunk's Lane, from its frequent appearances there, if the spot is where it's seen, you can actually examine more, even more scratches there. So you can walk down to this lane and you'll just see scratches. And they say,
like, fenced off where you can't touch it.
No, you can.
I wonder if you,
someone you can go. It. I think you can
someone
go.
Someone touches it, is like, my familiar. Like, summons it.
Yeah, so in that area, it's known as a, like, a very benevolent, like, don't make fun of it, don't try to call on it or anything, because it'll come and get you.
So exactly the thing that I
yeah,
did.
What you just
did. I'll be like, well, it was nice.
Right?
Knowing you
guys. It was nice knowing. So never go to Ireland. Never go to this
touch
place.
Anything.
So in Westmorland and adjacent parts of Yorkshire, there's belief in. So here is another one. All right. So this one, I hate this one. So another black dog, also known as the Church Grim, guards a local Christian church and its attached courtyard from those who would profane them, including thieves. So people who, it was known to protect the church. And it was trying to keep away thieves, vandals, witches, and warlocks. For this purpose, it was custom to bury a dog alive under the cornerstones of a church as a foundation for sacrifice.
Dude, Peter's coming after your ass, just saying this out loud.
Yes, like. And in this thing I have no yes. right here. Cause, so it was practiced back in the day to bury a black dog underneath alive, so that way its spirit was bound there to protect the church from anyone trying to do
it's
bad things
like
to it.
Joe's story with the witches and the cat.
Exactly, with the cat. So in this case, it was a black dog. So, and it was known as the Church Grim. Mm. So sometimes the Grim will troll the bell. Will also toll the bells at midnight before the death. Before a death occurs. So if you hear the bells ring, means someone's going to die.
Oh.
So. At funerals, the presiding clergyman may see the dog looking out from the church tower and determine from its aspects whether the soul of the departed was bound for heaven or hell. So depending on how the dog was looking or uh-huh. from which way, you could tell whether the person he was like giving a service to right. was a do-gooder or a bad guy.
Bad person, yeah.
So it was either those that dog was going to lead it
like
up to
Groundhog
heaven.
Day. Could you imagine if the dog was just like, squirrel, you're going to hell. Bird, you're
yeah.
going to
so
heaven.
So it was known that the dog would either lead it up to heaven or lead it down to hell. Oh. So another tradition states that when a churchyard was opened and the first man buried there, had to guard it against the devil. So it would be the guy and the dog. So if it was a new cemetery and you're the first person to die there, yeah. your spirit will forever be there to guard the rest of everything else.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
Right?
Like, Have fun, Joe. Right? You're working even after your afterlife. Like, who wants to do that?
Yeah. So, and actually, this is what originally it was. So, before this is to save a human, that's when they started burying just the dog. So, at first, it used to be a dog and a human buried underneath alive.
At least they would have each other.
Yeah.
But then the whole burying alive thing kind of throws me off.
And then it got to the point where it's like, well, human sacrifice is not, you know, is too extreme. So, let's just sacrifice the dogs instead. So instead of sacrificing a human and a dog.
What if I volunteer as tribute?
They'll let the dog go by itself. So
I'd see Joe being like, I volunteer.
So yeah.
I just keep listening, you guys.
In the back in the days, it used to be a human and a dog were to sacrifice themselves to protect those that were going to be at that church and who were going to be buried there. But then it became inhumane for just to do it to humans. So they're like, you know, it's humane enough to do it for dogs. So let's just throw a dog down there so the dog can be guarding people. Yeah. Eventually, the practice altogether has been stopped. At least I would hope. So
they do that a lot, kill people and then bury the top of the walls or treasures or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That it was just to scare people. One time you get to the bones, whoa,
there's so many bones.
They go out.
Oh gosh.
But if you keep digging, then something's underneath it.
God, Athena, you're just like, I want everyone to know I'm here. So that's that one. So there's another one called Gabriel's Hounds are dogs with human heads that fly high through the air and are often heard but not really seen. They sometimes hover over a house, and this takes a sign that a death or misfortune will befall those who dwell within that house. So if you see a dog with a human head over a house, means that house is being accursed. Stay the hell away from it.
I don't remember. I think it's a mitología griega, though, was where it's the dogs when the heads of the persons.
Yeah.
Anubis.
Anubis?
No, well, that is an Egyptian.
That's yeah. Egyptian, but yeah.
But talking as a dog when a head actually
like a human
a person.
Head?
Yes. Oh. I remember see that picture. I'm going to try to look for that picture.
No, a little bit more about this. So they are also known as Gabriel Ratchets, or Ratchets also known as Hounds. So gobble rochets or sky yelpers are yet hounds. They are sometimes said to be the souls of unbaptized children.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, really? Okay. You have to bring children in this?
I don't like it when like it comes up to children. Like there was a couple episodes this Ham did, yeah. And like they're like involve children and no me gusta. No me gusta.
They call him the limbo.
The popular concept of the Gabriel Hounds may have been particularly based off the migrating flocks of wild geese when they fly at night with loud honking. So in other traditions, the Gabriel Hounds were essentially hounds with human heads that would go after sinners, and they hunted mostly on Sundays, and you would hear their yelping cries, and which were a death omen, and if they flew and stopped above your house, something bad was happening.
Ooh, like so, you're cursed or something?
Yeah, pretty much. This is actually its own folklore, and I wasn't going to touch it with a 10-foot pole, but it's called Seven Whistlers.
Whistlers,
yeah, and it's a bird folklore. And I was like, maybe I'll cover this another time. So it's probably, like, stay tuned for the Seven Whistlers.
What was that when I was covering the Tengu? It would be perfect. Bird-on-bird mythology.
Oh, my gosh. So, again, we're going to go down. This is a good omen for guardian black dogs. Refer to those rare dogs that are neither omens of death nor cause of it. Instead, they guide lost travelers and protect them from the danger. So, stories of these type become more widespread around starting around the early 1900s. So, before that, most of these black dog omens were seen as bad. But then they started realizing maybe black dogs are not all that bad. And they decided to see them as good things. So in different versions of one popular tale, a man was journeying alone, lonely in a forest road at night when a large black dog appeared at its side and remained there until the man left the forest, protecting it from anything trying to harm him. Yes. On his return journey through the woods, the dog reappeared and did the same as before. Years later, and this continued, whenever he would travel into a forest, this black dog would just appear out of nowhere and protect him all the way through because this forest was known to be bad, was known to have, like, things in there that would, you know, other things that were trying to kill him. So it was known as the forest where a black dog was like a guardian. It protected not just him, but other people reported, oh, he appeared for me too, type of thing. So this was, and this went on for a really long time. This went on from like.
So do you think it's just like a 50-50% chance? Like,
right. You could,
like,
be good. You could,
like,
be bad.
Lightning and rain and not going to follow you. Forest friendly path. Okay.
Right. This could probably happen. Yeah. If this is at forest at nighttime, maybe it's a good thing. So here's, there's more.
Fine.
So there's also known as the Girt dog or the Great Dog. I like their great dog. Sounds
I
a lot better.
Like Sam was like, is it a black dog? Yes. Okay, put it in. Is it a black dog? Okay, yes. Put it in.
More black dogs. Black dogs. Black dogs.
Sounds like doggy episode.
Right. So the great dog or in Somerset is another example of a benevolent dog. It is said the mother would allow their children to play unsupervised. And they said if you did not stay in this area, the great dog will come and kill you.
Uh-oh.
So this
that's like a kukui. Don't do this or a kukui's gonna come get you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's essentially what this
was. They used to terrorize people with a kukui.
Yeah. It says a great dog will either protect you if you stay in this area, but the moment you leave it, they will come, like this other thing will come
that's
and get you.
That's a parent thing to do, dude. We're like, what?
Yes, and it's also known, the great dog is also known to accompany love travelers, so people who are just married or they're going to get married, mm-hmm. they're known to accompany them to where they're going to go.
They're like, here's the end of your single life.
Right? Okay, so we have another one, and this one is known as Padfoot.
Just name it.
Yay! Well, anyone who's a Harry Potter fan.
Dad and I were like immediately like,
well, I was just watching.
What the hell is a Padfoot? So Padfoot, though, is known as a death omen. A death omen like others of its type, it may become visible or invisible at any given time. It is also known to follow people with a light padding sound. So if you're walking and you think you hear like,
that's what they call it.
He's following right behind you. Because if you look, you'll either see it for a split second and then it'll disappear, or you just won't see it at all.
Like those little cat videos where it's like you look.
Patty feet walking after you. He may appear and round appear. It can also roar really, really loud. Roar. So you know how dogs bark or whatever? He actually
has demonstrate for us.
I am not going to demonstrate a roar. So it says it can utter a roar unlike the voice of any other known animal. So instead of making like a barking noise like dogs do, this is just like a blood-curdling like roar. So besides having the roar, it is also known to carry change behind it. So sometimes you'll hear the little padding and then a chain's being dropped.
Like a thin chain or a thick chain?
A chain, like dragging chains. I need
visual ear interpretation.
Someone do chain, like you're dragging a
cup
chain.
Cup of chain, I had a chain.
Not like change. Okay. Not change. A chain. A chain.
I thought I heard change too.
Oh my God. It is too late for this shit. Let's see.
It's too late and you're too old.
Oh God. Okay. So it is best to leave the creature alone, for it is a person tries to strike or attack it, it will overpower them and kill them. One story tells of a man who tried to kick Padfoot and found himself being drugged by it through a hedge and ditch all the way to his home and left under his own window. Although usually described as black, another tale concerns a man who encountered a white Padfoot. He attempted to strike it with a stick, but it passed completely through and he ran home in fear. Soon afterwards, he fell sick and died. The Striker of Lancaster in Yorkshire is a death omen like many others of its type, but it also wanders invisibly in the forest at night, uttering... All right, so it may also take a visible form of a large black dog with enormous paws that makes a splashing sound when walking, like old shoes walking in soft mud. So it's not like little...
Sound effects, Sam.
Squeak, 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 squeak.
This guy you hear.
Where's Nabil so he can give us sound effects?
He said he wanted to do it.
For this reason, the Shrieker... There you go, Shrieker! Yes, the Shrieker is known as Trash, another word for trudge or sludge. So there, not only is he known as Shrieker, he's also known as Trash. Poor thing. Should give a better name than that. So we also have one called the Wish Hound.
I like this one. I like wishes.
Well, it's not what you think it is. Because it's not...
Do I get three?
No. It's not spelled like wish. There's a T at the end of it.
Wished.
Yes.
Wished.
Yes. But it's silent. It's silent.
The tea is
and it means ghostly or haunted. So do you still want that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a dog.
So it is related. It's
a dog. Are you sure it's a dog?
So it's a phenomenon. And in some folks, it's regards to them as it's identical to the Yellhound. So, but it's in a different part. So in this part, they call it the... Wish Hound. And the other part, they call it the Yell Hound.
Oh, so it's by region.
Yeah, it's by region. But this one is known as... So there's a huntsman that goes around collecting unbaptized children's spirits.
Okay.
And he turns them into his hellhounds. So that's what these wish dogs are. So the huntsman is presumably the devil. And it is said that any dog that hears the crying of a hound will also die. So if you know how nighttime we sometimes hear the coyotes.
Right,
so
right.
They howl back. So if your dog actually does that, that means the devil will come and take your dogs and turn them into his hellhounds. And it's the same thing with if they start crying and your baby and it's not baptized starts crying, the devil will come and take it.
Wow. We have some kind of superstition too in Mexico about if you see the dogs crying too much. They're announcing the death.
Oh, wow.
When they go,
when they go like,
Or the ambulance. You never notice when the ambulance goes by? Yeah. All the dogs are like,
then everybody was like and the people were thinking, no, somebody's dying. Yeah, but it was in the ambulance, not the dogs. No, yeah. That's how we used to have that.
So, yeah, that's basically what this is. The wish hounds are basically that of either the dogs, also the dog spirits are going, or if the dogs cause a baby, like a newborn baby, to start to cry and the baby hasn't been baptized yet, the devil will come and take it.
Wow.
So that, I think that was just like an excuse for SIDS, which is sudden death, sudden infant death. And, like, so you know how sometimes your kid is perfectly fine,
right.
But then out of nowhere the baby can die because it's called SIDS.
Correct.
So I think that was their way of explaining it. Because sometimes people would be like, oh, last night we heard, you know, animal or like a wolf crying. And then when we woke up in the morning, our baby was dead. So they would be like, oh, the devil came and took his soul then. Okay. But I think it was kind of just a way of like explaining SIDS back in the day when they didn't know what it was.
How is we going to take something that's pure?
Exactly. So
it's not even be.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why that was just like, that's what I think it was. And that's what some people said it was for that one. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense. It makes sense. So we're almost there. A black dog is said to haunt most of Cornwall, appearing to... I thought this one was funny. So this dog was known... If you saw this dog and you're a wrestler, like a professional wrestler, mm-hmm. And you saw this black dog, it meant that you were going to become a well-known wrestler.
Triple H.
Maybe that's what happened.
The Rock.
Or the Rock, right? Did you go to this place and you saw a black dog and you were like, I'm going to become famous? So I thought that was just like a funny one to throw in there. So a parish in St. Teith is haunted by a ghostly pack of dogs known as Kensley Hounds that once belonged to an old squire named Kensley. It is uncertain how he or the dog died, but the Kensley Hounds are said to be heard running around during rough weather. And they're just looking for people who are, I guess, running around during this rough weather to take them down as a pack.
Rough weather? You hear that?
Oh, my God.
Rough. I like your unintentional.
Rough partner. Weather.
Rough.
Let's see. The area surrounding St. Germans is haunted by a pack of haunting dogs known as Dango's dogs. Dango was a sinful priest. And went around doing hellish and wicked things for the devil and using dogs as his bidding. So when he died, his dogs died with him. So it is said that he still haunts the area with his dogs in chain, like on chains, going around getting souls of the innocent. Not the wicked, but the innocent. Mm. And is especially popular heard on Sunday mornings. The devil, and then there's also called the Devil's Dandy Dogs, another Cornish version of a wild hunt.
What do you mean Cornish?
That's the area is called the Cornish.
Oh, okay.
They are often, they're basically the same story as the Dango dogs, mm-hmm. Except they're known to be more dangerous because these are actually hellhounds. So the difference between black dogs and hellhounds is hellhounds will drag their people down to hell with them and they would be tortured for the rest of their lives by hellhounds. So, and the thing is with the hellhounds, they're black in color with horns and fiery breath. So they're pretty scary, actually. If you see like pictures of hellhounds, they're not something you want to mess with.
Where's my picture, Sam?
I don't have pictures today. Okay, there is now in Scotland, there's actually something called the Milk Black Tyke. It's a black dog that presides in the Scotland area. Let's see, there's also the Scottish Black Dog, also serves as a treasure guide. If you see this dog, follow it, because it's taking you to treasure. Right? Let's see.
Unless there's lightning and rain around it.
Then stay away.
Your treasure is death.
So, and back to the black, the Muck Black Tyke, it's supposed to be the devil himself, traveling around at night trying to find souls. In Latin American, black dogs with fire arrows are reported through Latin America from Mexico to Argentina under a various of names, including Perro Negro.
Perro. Enunciate your awesome. Come on.
Perro Negro. Perro. Perro Negro.
Perro. You gotta roll your R.
Perro.
Say Relo.
Perro Negro.
You can do this. Put your tongue on the top of your mouth.
Joe, you say it.
Perro.
Damn, you gonna let him show you up like that? Come on, Sam. Come on.
Perro Negro.
Perro Negro.
Yes, he did.
Obviously. That's a given. We also have Nurha. Huevo Chivo.
Let Dad read it, please. Let Dad read it, please.
You won't be able to read this. It's too like. These are Latin names for it, and...
Yeah, some of them.
Okay. From here, Perro Negro to...
Oh, órale, sí, el Perro Negro y el Nahual.
There you go.
Nahual, and this is a white, and a chivo is a white peck. Yeah, el Nahual is related with the history about the Aztecas. El Nahual is like a shifter, like a man, he can turn himself in half coyote, half dog. Oh. And half person.
See?
That is Nahual. I have a whole...
Dad's like, I'm ready to cover that right now. Let's do this. Yeah,
because I have a lot of those old legends from Mexico. They come from Nahual because it used to be a tribe of people. Mm-hmm. And normally all of them, we proceed for Nahual. See? Oh. And Nahual is exactly as a person who was skin chief from a skin shifter. Right.
Yeah.
It was a coyote or a dog.
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's skin,
cool.
Yeah.
That is the word.
Nahual.
These names include El Perro Negro and Nahual and White Chivo and White Peck. See, this is the Chivo is a name and a White Peck. It's like that. Condejo. The dog familiar for the lobby son, who they usually say in the United States election, the small black dog.
Yep, that's the one that Joe's going to be covering soon. I just mentioned it. It's like an intro for you, Joe.
Joe's like, David, look at the death glare by Joe.
More like Joe's like, that's more of like, I want to go to bed look. Yeah.
Is it Joe? Is it? He's like a little bit.
It's a little bit of both.
We're almost there, Joe.
Yeah, we are almost there. So in the United States, the legend of a small black dog is known in Connecticut. Since the 19th century, the dog is said to be the haunting of hanging trees. It's a series of rock ridges and gorges that served as a popular area, recreation area. So actually, these black dogs were known to hang out in areas where lynchings were done. And it was known to go after the bodies that were being hung. And so...
To eat them?
Yes.
Or to, like, guide their spirits?
To eat them.
Mm.
Yes.
Yummy.
Yes. So,
meal on a rope.
Right.
A meal in a rope.
It was said if you meet the dog once. Oh, here it is. Yay. So here's the. I'm so tired.
Yay.
So here's a little sugar cube that I've been
holding on to.
And I don't know why I put it at the white end. But it said if you meet the black dog once, it shall be for joy. If you meet the dog twice, it shall be for sorrow. And if you meet the dog three times, you're going to die. It will bring you death. That is the saying. So if you see a black dog in Connecticut, that's what they say.
Why Connecticut, though?
Because Connecticut is where... I don't know why in Connecticut. But but apparently in Connecticut, in some areas, the black dog is everywhere and is known to be around trees for lynchings and stuff like that. And is known as a death omen. But at first, like they say, if you meet the black dog once, it shall be of joy. If you meet the black dog twice, it shall be of sorrow. And if you meet the black dog the third time, it shall be of death.
That sounds like a movie entrance.
Look for the dog for the time, like, and I say, no more.
Right, don't meet me anymore. But actually, I saw this saying in a lot of areas also in England. They're like, in some areas, like when the dog is not benevolent but nice, they're like, you don't want to keep meeting it. Because if you keep meeting it, eventually it's going to get tired of you and it's going to want to eat you. So,
in a good way or a bad way?
How is either that a good way?
Right? Right? That doesn't make any sense. So,
we're all just tired.
Well, it's kind of like what Dad was saying. The girl who, like, they saw the Doberman pictures, they threw something at him.
Yeah,
and it just went straight through him. In this case, this guy was trying to scare off the dog. It was like, trying to shoo it away. It brought it, and then it finally wasn't listening because it was barking at him. So he shot at it, and instead of it, like, affecting him, went straight through him, and then the dog attacked him and killed him. Went straight for his throat. That's basically what this was saying.
Could you imagine trying to, like, protect himself with his gun, but then it's like, it went through.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's basically what happened. He said he was trying, this was in the mid-1970s, so this was, like, the most recent one that has been out. In the 1970s, and he said that he was terrorized by a large black dog. The dog was, like, barking at him and lunging at him. And he kept trying to scare it away. And then he's like, you know, if you're not going to run away, I'm going to shoot you. And he tried shooting at him. And it's like, nope, didn't work. And the dog lunged. And they found him with his throat ripped out.
Just the throat? Was any of the rest of it?
No, just his throat was ripped out.
So it was like clean killing.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is what you get for pissing me off.
Pretty much. So,
like,
yeah, man. I mean, that's pretty much the case. And then, of course, in popular culture, the black dog is everywhere. You see it in video games. You see it in Supernatural. The black dog comes up a lot, and then you see it at crossroads trying to make deals.
Anime.
You do.
Helsing.
Right. Padfoot. So black cultures are still black cultures.
So that makes it cryptic,
tradition,
right?
Tradition too, for it the right water.
It is. It's a folklore cryptic.
Remember for the right water, it used to be the black dog for the wishes.
Yes.
The
familiars.
Car for the wish and all that. That's what you see a right water.
Yeah. A Wattweiler.
Right water normally is a wish
Of which I want a Rottweiler.
Especially when there's a cemetery or a private place like that, like a church.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Yes. Somebody is like that.
Yeah. So that's what there's basically in popular culture. Right, the black dog is still around. It's everywhere. It's in Harry Potter, Padfoot. It's an Supernatural, which are the hellhounds, and black dogs are also at crossroads because it's known the devil will appear as a black dog at a crossroad, and then you're like, I want to make a deal, and then the black dog usually turns into a devil, and it's like, let's strike up a deal. So black dogs are everywhere in culture. They're not going to go anywhere anytime soon, and Joe's falling asleep over there again.
No, I'm not.
And so...
You don't know his life.
My story, long and full of a bunch of gibberish. I'm sorry.
I thought it was good. You covered a lot.
Yes, nice. I tried. Pretty I nice tried to just keep it more in the England area.
I'm going
to
claim the black cat next time, now that I know that.
Go ahead. I mean, technically... Like, well,
list forever.
It is a long list, but the black cat has a lot of omens and myth, and there's also the black cat ghost about it. But you better bring it good, because I know about that stuff. All right.
Why does she always assume that I'm not going to bring it, Joe?
Because you always cover things that I want to cover, but you claim it before I do. So that wraps up our stories, our myths. I hope you all like that. Yeah. I have
what
one.
Dads?
Do you want to share anything?
For me, next time, the next we talk, I'm going to have a whole bunch of stories about a treasure for bandits in Mexico.
I hope you guys look forward to that.
Stuff for that. See, the lost treasure, they still people still hunting it. Some of us even found pieces. Some of us even found none. Some of us are still looking for it.
Oh, nice. See,
we have some places and names and days, you know, for those places. So if you look forward to that.
We
have a few of those, two, three of those real good.
We will be recording this soon.
It also makes me more excited because Dad has like a bandana on him that makes it look like he's pirate hunting, treasure hunting.
I don't like the scary movies and I don't like Nara, but I like to read about all this.
He likes to read about myths and mythologies and stuff like that. So he's huge on that.
I'm a kind of superstition guy, and I believe in a lot of stuff like that.
So, yeah, look forward to that.
Thank you for being here.
Right? We will be releasing a new episode. We will be releasing a new episode with my father, and they're telling us more stories that he knows of and that he's read a lot about. We're going to do a quick announcement. So I mentioned before that we were going to make a huge announcement regarding merch. So merchandise, we are now going to be releasing merchandise in the forms of stickers, magnets, and pins. And I will have a website up by the end of this month, and those will be available for purchase. Everything that we have so far has been made and created totally by Yelly.
Art-wise. I don't know how to make a freaking magnet.
No, yes. Like, so all the designs that you see are all done by Yelly. These are all her lovely work, all her drawings. But they will be available.
Nice.
Yeah, right now they're just, we have four items now because you just finished Quasi.
I finished Quasi finally.
Yes, so we will have four items up for available. And they will be in... as magnets, as pins, as stickers, and as I'm looking into getting also the metal pins too.
I still want shoelaces.
That I'm going to be working on soon. And eventually we're going to be moving on to posters and shirts. Those will come soon, but we're going to start off with just pins, stickers, magnets. And if you guys are interested, just look forward to our website, which will hopefully be dropped by the end of this month. So we are moving on up.
Yay!
Yes.
Bravo.
We're moving on up, right? I hope you guys look forward to
that. We're adulting.
That is that was my big announcement that I meant to do last week, but completely forgot. So I'm doing it this week. Hopefully by the end of March, we will have the merch website up. And I look forward to people going into that. In the meanwhile, you guys can also follow us on our social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We also have a Patreon. We do all of this out of our free time and out of, obviously, our houses. If you guys want to help us with that, that would be great. If you guys want to be sending in your stories, you can send in our stories and we'll read those out loud. Again, and if you guys just want to rate us or, like, let us know how good of a job we're doing, you can always send us an email at
love and support.
Right? teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. So, yeah, we just want to thank you guys for sticking with us because our numbers are incredible and we wouldn't be anywhere without you guys.
Thank you, guys.
Right? Something you want to say, Dad?
No can reading a whole bunch of good stories. So whatever you guys like, let me know. Ask right? some questions. And
my dad is going to become a regular guys. On this okay. too. So yeah. ask if you have any questions for him. If you want to say anything to him. Places, for
saints.
When I get dead. Treasures.
Spirits. Something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let my dad know. Us,
please. Thank yeah, you he'll for be your around. Support. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys thank for you. Everything.
Yeah. I love your trip. Man.
Huh?
Love about your trip.
Well, okay. So... I don't know if it really matters. I'm going to be going out of town, but we're going to, the episodes are still going to be coming out and, I'm going to be going to Ireland. Hey, if you're in Ireland,
hit up Saya.
Let me know. Maybe we can meet up, yeah. whatever. Oh, we are also going to be releasing. So not only is my dad going to become a regular, but we're going to be bringing in some faces every so often. Every month we're going to be releasing special episodes with new people telling us stories special about guests. Their lives and special guests. And if this is, I hope you guys look forward to that. We have a lot of things coming up. All right. Thank you guys for putting up with us. We,
till next time.
Till next time.
Bye.
Till next time.
Bye.
Space Cowboys.
Till next time, Space Cowboys.
Till next time, Space Cowboys. We
gotta come up with a different one because it's like, we're like tea time. All
right.
Till next tea time.
Stay spooky.
Stay spooky.
All right. See you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.